Now we're on.
Oh, we're on?
We're on, baby. Now, stop looking up what you were looking up, man.
Don't tell me what to look up.
Yeah. Just don't show me what you're looking up.
Don't tell me what to do.
Yeah. That's my job here. You want a jobby? I'll get a jobby. But it's been a big week, my guy.
Look, as depressing as this weather is, it's even more depressing what you're going to talk about. So.
No, it's not. It's got me so pumped up, man.
Yeah.
But, you know, before we get to jump into James's happiness and him probably breaking down and talking heaps of shit on Arsenal.
I'm gonna fall asleep.
You can't. It's too exciting to fall asleep. It's so exciting. But, I mean, other good news which you can be happy about, Wrexham got promoted.
Yeah. They're
in the championship.
Huge.
Three leagues in 3 years.
Three promotions in 3 years. They have spent more money than most of the clubs there, so kind of makes sense, but that's awesome for them. And I cannot wait for the next season of Welcome to Wrexham.
Oh, that's going to be a big one. Oh, imagine they get promoted into Premier League this season.
So 4-4.
4-4?
4-4 would be out of control.
Which is already unheard of, the 3-3. So
did Bournemouth do that?
No, Bournemouth won that quick.
No. Yeah, but they escalated up from non-league football as
they
well.
Did.
Though, didn't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Was it the guy bought the club for £1 million?
Now it's worth hundreds. Yeah.
Hundreds of millions?
Yeah, good for you. What a great investment. Yeah. And now I think Rob and Ryan, like I know them on a personal basis.
Yeah.
They
my guys.
Hey!
Yeah.
I think they pumped, well, they bought it for like two mil.
Yeah.
Now it's worth over 100.
Yeah, well, they've
and that's
well, they
only
did,
it's not even in the championship
something
yet.
Like 20 million into
they have
it,
pumped
though.
A fair bit into it, and I think they are owed a bit of money as well. But they've already got the money back. That like their money's been returned straight away.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Yeah, so and
I'm interested to see if they get. They've obviously still got Jade Rodriguez there, which is crazy to think of that Jade Rodriguez is playing for Wrexham.
Yeah,
so I'm pretty interested. I'm sure they're going to be targeting players. I assume they're going to be targeting players ex-prem players who've just been relegated.
Yeah, the big thing is that they were looking at who gets relegated and try to take some of the players from there. So, but I think they could even get some players that are in the Premier League, but like maybe fringe.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Mm. Just think about their social media status if they actually do well at the club. They get, I mean, one of them was in a goddamn Deadpool movie, dude.
Yeah, that's
Mullins.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Was
Mullins,
in a goddamn Deadpool movie.
Yeah, that's
I mean, didn't
right,
see
yeah.
his face. But he was the Welsh Deadpool.
He was Welsh Deadpool. That's right. Yeah.
I mean, look, that's not a bad outcome. And you look at their Instagram pages, they went from like 2,000 people on their Instagram pages to like 200,000.
Yeah.
So they started getting paid for brand deals. Like you start making more money.
And they were in League Two and their sponsor was TikTok.
Well, they were in the conferences, in the split conference leagues.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
not the non-professional leagues.
So they've done pretty well. I think obviously, part now is they're going to upgrade the stadiums.
Yes, that'll be the next thing. But obviously, going to the championship, you get a nice little splash of money.
Well, you get some TV rights money.
Get TV rights money,
that's positive.
But also with them is Birmingham. Now, Birmingham was bought by a conglomerate with Tom Brady. So they've both gone up. So now Tom Brady's team is going to be in the championship too.
Yeah, but
it's not Wrexham.
Tom Brady's not in Deadpool, dude. You keep forgetting. Hey, I even wore my Deadpool sock.
Nice.
That was very advantageous. Thanks.
Hectic.
Yeah, good work.
But you can kind of see now like all these stars who have money are starting to buy into like lower league football clubs. I mean, they did it with the old Man U boys. They tried it.
They were very unsuccessful.
They were not good. No.
They were very unsuccessful.
I think they tried to do too much too quick. And it kind of like, you know, they destroyed the stadium and whatnot. But it just didn't work out.
They did it with Salford City?
Salford City,
yeah. And they even tried it with the TV show as well.
Yes, they just
super unsuccessful with TV.
It just didn't work.
Super unsuccessful. I think a lot of them didn't have as much interest as, you know, Rob and Ryan did.
Rob and Ryan are obviously entertainers. They're actors and they're both really funny guys. Whereas like
in TV.
Yeah, in TV, yeah. Whereas like Gary Neville thinks he's in TV because he's a pundit, but he's actually not very good.
He's also a moron. Let's be real. Gary Neville is a moron.
I actually want to have a look to see where Salford is at the moment because I totally forgot about that. Oh, they're in League Two. Okay, so they're not doing good.
No, they're not doing good at all.
They
not
are
promoted.
Coming seventh, so they are currently on the outer skirts of play-in or play-off, sorry.
But I think, I don't think they've got the fund levels to just pump $20 million.
Which is crazy because David Beckham's there. Isn't he a billionaire?
No, David Beckham's not part of it. David Beckham has Miami FC.
Oh, he is Miami. Sorry.
Miami FC.
It's Rio. It's like Gary Neville.
It's Gary Neville, Paul Scholes.
Paul Scholes, yeah.
Is it Rio? Phil Neville.
Phil Neville too?
Potentially. Is it Phil Neville? Look
yeah.
it up.
Oh, look it up.
Who the owners are. Because, it's not the big guys. It's like the fringe guys. I know it's Paul Scholes. I know it's Gary Neville.
Yes, I know.
And then there's two others that are involved in it.
Gary Neville, Ryan Giggs, Phil Neville, Nicky Butt, and Paul Scholes.
Yeah, see what I mean?
So five of them, yeah.
Yeah. Ryan Giggs is...
David Beckham also owns 10% of the club.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I thought he owned a little bit.
He doesn't have enough of a stake for him to be interested.
Right, and to be fair, Miami FC is probably doing a lot better considering they've got Messi there.
Yeah, dude. And Suarez.
And Suarez. And Busquets.
Yeah.
And Jordi Alba.
Yeah. Oh, hey, Barca. Want to come
any,
play?
Any rejects you want to send our way?
It's a retirement league for Barcelona, dude. But, congrats to Wrexham. Interested to see what they can do in the championship.
Obviously, another level up.
Yeah.
I mean, 3-3 is very impressive. Let's see if they can do 4-4.
Well, we'll follow it.
Yep.
But on to some more Real Madrid news. I think we've had so much Real Madrid news in the last, I don't know, 10 weeks.
Yeah, probably like 3 months. There's been a lot of like players.
They keep fucking with refs, right? Yep. Which is going to come into this again. they keep fucking with the refs. They keep fucking with the league. And then they just keep complaining about everything.
I feel like this is the most I've ever heard them complain. I do not remember them complaining this much when Ronaldo was there, when Benzema was there, when Bale was there. I don't remember this much
winning.
Complaining.
No one complains when they win.
But they won last year.
They're like, but...
They won the double last year as well.
That's not this year.
Yeah, I know. But even like during that time, like Real Madrid didn't win everything every year. But they never complain this much. It just seems like very excessive.
It is super excessive. It's not only complaining, it's attacking. They keep
big
attacking.
Time attacks, yeah.
They attack refs, which they did, which I'm going to get into in this. So they've most recently played in the Copa del Rey final, right?
Yes.
Against Barcelona.
Good game.
Not only has everyone been discounting Barcelona because of all the financial problems they have, which is terrible problems to have.
Yep.
But they've also criticizing the team that it's not that good. I'm sorry, they're performing. They've got a 17-year-old that's on fire. They've got
probably the
Rafinha
best
Rafinha who's having the best year of his career.
I'm going to say Ballon d'Or season.
Ballon d'Or level season, depending on what they can win.
Yeah.
And then you've got Lewandowski at 36 years old banging in the most goals in the world.
He's already on 40 goals and he's missed so many games.
Yeah, well he's injured till the end of the season now, isn't he?
Don't think it's the end of the season. I know he's injured. It's going to be close to it, yeah. They also have probably the best young midfield trio with Pedri, Xavi, and De Jong. Now, De Jong's obviously the older one, but Pedri and Xavi are like 21.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, the team is super stacked.
And then they've got a 17-year-old centre-back who had to do exams, right? And then he's coming in and just putting players in his pocket, getting red cards in the Champions League. But, he's just overperforming where he's at. Then on the flip side, Real Madrid have their 18-year-old centre-backs. Who's done in child sex accusations.
Another thing on Barcelona is, I think that a lot of people forget, is their manager, Hansi Flick.
Yep.
He has gone 9 finals in his career, has not lost one. Clearly, this guy is a top manager.
Yeah, and he's obviously developed a team which everyone discounted as being shit.
Yeah.
And turned them into a great team. So, I mean, you've got to give him credit where credit's due.
And then you've even got guys that, they only bought Dani Olmo this year, to be fair, right? He's been playing well. They've got Ferran Torres on the bench as well. So he's utilizing all those players. You can just see that they're just playing high level of football. And, I mean,
They're gelling as a team. There's clear leaders in their team. And I hate to say that a 17-year-old is one of them. Which is insane.
Yeah.
And then the aged players that they have in there play their roles well.
Yep.
Right? Yeah. Like, you've got Koundé in there. Plays his role supremely well.
Koundé, I think, played... Was he the one that played, 100-something games in a row?
Yep.
Yeah.
Uninjured.
Unfortunately, he got injured today.
Ugh.
Which we will talk about.
But...
Are you talking about Kubazi? No, the 18-year-old?
Yeah.
Kubazi. Yeah, he's 18.
He's having a great season.
Yeah, and then they even had to bring in Szczesny because Ter Stegen got injured.
Yes.
Even he's playing well.
Yeah, it's what I mean. It's
big props to the manager.
Big props to them, but back to Real Madrid.
Back to Real Madrid, though, yeah.
In the lead-up to the Copa del Rey,
yes,
they were threatening and putting out allegations against the referee that was supposed to ref the game.
Mm.
Who in their right mind attacks the referee prior to the game?
Real Madrid do.
Yeah, at what end?
They should have just got an English ref.
Yeah. Like they already appealed
yeah,
to.
Yeah, yeah.
So not only so, and as we reported earlier, they had the other ref where they said they alleged that he had
The business,
the outside business, sports management, and that he should be banned from refereeing.
Yep.
Then he alleged that all of the referees in the Liga were corrupt and against Real Madrid. I sit there and I go, well, you're doing yourself no favor.
Yep.
Then they go into the Copa del Rey final. They piss them off. Now, surprise, surprise, they lose 3-2 in extra time with 116th minute Koundé goal.
Great game, by the way.
Fantastic
great
game.
Great game, yeah.
Fantastic game. But again, what are you doing for yourself? In that game, there was two penalties that should have been awarded to Barcelona that weren't awarded, right? Then at the end of the game, you have Rudiger, Vasquez, and Jude Bellingham all get red carded.
Lost it. Absolutely lost it.
What Rudiger did was insane, dude.
Throwing the bottle at the ref.
Yeah, he just started throwing shit at the ref.
Yeah, you can't throw. I mean, you shouldn't be throwing anything at a ref, a punch or a kick or a ball, whatever. But to throw a bottle is nuts.
Yeah. And
that's a flying object. People get arrested for that.
But they're still in the battle for the league.
Yeah, they're only 4 points behind. Yeah.
They're 4 points behind the league. So
and they still have to play Barcelona.
Correct. There's a Clásico coming up. So you can still win the league.
Yep.
But it's going to make it really fucking hard if three of your players are red carded.
Yeah.
So, I mean, on the flip side, they got lucky. They overturned Jude's red card.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So he got off because I think it's for walking away. Then you had Vasquez, who will face a two-match ban for swearing and going off the rest. And Rudiger, who now gets a six-match ban. So he's done for the season.
Well, he already is done for the season pretty much. Now, I don't know if this is coincidence or not, but he's actually injured. He's done something to his meniscus.
Well, he hurt his confidence.
Yeah. So he's out. Now, the one thing I did want to bring up about Real Madrid is they only have four fit defenders, right? Rudiger's out. Carvajal obviously out for the season. Alaba is also out. So they've both done the meniscus. So Alaba is out again. Militao obviously been out for a while. And Mendy has done a muscle injury. He's out for the season. And now Vasquez is suspended.
They got no one.
So that's six defenders out. So they literally, and Camavinga, who also can play right back, is also out. He's also injured. He's out for the rest of the season. So their whole defense has just been shot.
They've just given up. They've just given up on the league.
Yeah, that's what I think as well.
They've just given up on the league. They got knocked out of the Champions League by fucking Arsenal, right?
Yep.
And now they're going to take it out on Barca, who's just clearly a better side.
Clearly a better side. Clearly
a better side.
Clearly this year they've had a lot more stability. Their team. Now, also, I felt sorry for Real Madrid because they did losing Militao, losing Carvajal so early in the season would fuck any club up. You know what I mean? Like,
but
you know what I mean?
Look at the replacements they have. It's not like
they've got a great squad. Don't get me wrong.
Putting scrubs in, they can still win games.
No, for sure.
It's not like when you look at like some of the we look at Tottenham, right?
Mm.
And they're like, oh no, well, we lose three centre backs. It's like, oh, well, now we're literally playing youth squad players
and Ben Davies.
Yeah, you used to score players and a guy that I think used to play for good. Did he ever? I don't know. But, yeah, and then to follow on from that, you got Carlo Ancelotti announces he's leaving Real Madrid at the end of the season.
Did he actually announce it or was it rumoured that he was going to leave?
Well, it came out in the press that he was going to be leaving at the end.
Yeah.
And I think it wasn't a formal announcement from the club.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it was still being negotiated on what his exit looked like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
They were trying to work out a package or something.
However, yeah, yeah. Well, there's got to be an exit because he's still under contract.
Yes.
Right? However, during that period, there was a verbal agreement that had been reached between Carlo Ancelotti and the Brazilian national team.
Which has been the rumour for fucking years.
Yeah.
Years Brazil have wanted him. Since before the last World Cup they wanted him.
But it makes sense, right? He manages most of the Brazilian players in his team.
You got Rodrigo, you got Vinicius Jr. Yeah. So that's two of the big three.
Well, didn't he also manage Casemiro when Casemiro was at Real Madrid as well?
Yes. Did he have? Yes. Yeah, definitely.
He's had plenty of Brazilian players under his management. He does quite well with them.
Mm-hmm.
So it made sense to do it. So he had a verbal agreement in place and contracts were being drawn up. Now, surprise, surprise, who complains about that? Fucking Perez, dude.
The biggest whinger in world football.
Yeah, so Perez was not informed of the deal that the deal was done. So now he's coming out and saying he's refusing to pay exit fees. So he's blocked the deal. Brazil apparently don't have time to wait. They need to get a manager in place. So now it looks like he's fucked Carlo Ancelotti from getting the Brazil job, and it doesn't look like that he's going to get it.
Can I just say, like, I love Carlo Ancelotti. He coached Chelsea for a couple of years, won us a league title, won us an FA Cup. I think he's, personally, he's the greatest manager ever, right? He's gone to five different leagues. He's won five different league titles.
Yeah.
He's won Champions Leagues with AC Milan, and he did it with Real Madrid on multiple occasions.
But also, he does it without spending bucket loads of money.
Mm.
Like, don't get me wrong.
No, Real Madrid spent, yeah.
He brings players in.
Yep.
But he's not like a Pep where he goes, I'm just going to spend 200 million on defenders.
Mm.
Ah, I fucked up two of them.
Mm.
It's right. I'll spend more later.
Yeah.
He brings in the players that he knows are going to be good,
mm.
right? He gets Jude Bellingham in.
Yeah. He cost 100 mil, but that's like, they'll be like the only signing.
Yeah.
Like you'll sign Jude Bellingham and a couple free transfers. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, correct. You know, brings Lucas Vasquez in
mm.
and, utilizes him very well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like he's a manager who obviously clearly knows kind of a good player.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you don't win, I think he's won like what, five Champions Leagues?
Yeah.
Or four Champions or whatever.
He's
it
won
is.
The most out of any manager in the history
yeah.
of the game, right?
Yeah. Because I think he won two with AC Milan
mm-hmm.
and he's won at least three with Real Madrid. So mm. it has to be five.
Yeah.
Unless I'm missing something. But yeah, he's for me the greatest manager ever across his whole career, what he's done across all different leagues.
Mm-hmm.
And for Perez to treat him like this, especially after what he's done for Real Madrid, he was there when they won the 10th one, the La Decima. They sacked him because he wasn't doing so well. He then managed Bayern Munich and Everton and all that other shit. Comes back to Real Madrid, he wins him two more Champions Leagues.
It's crazy.
And then you're going to treat him like this? Like, bro.
Yeah, that's like, what I mean.
And the disrespect is just disgusting.
Well, the only thing that I can see is why this is happening is because, obviously, in other news, Xabi Alonso announces he'll be leaving Leverkusen.
Yes.
So he's going to leave Leverkusen. And, I mean, look, if I was a betting man, which I am, I would be putting my money on Xabi Alonso to take over at Real Madrid.
Which makes perfect sense because, one, Xabi Alonso learnt under Ancelotti.
Yeah.
But, two, he won the La Decima with Real Madrid. He won multiple championships and titles with Real Madrid.
Yep.
Pretty much a Real Madrid legend.
Yep.
And probably the best young manager in football.
Well, he's the most proven young manager in football, for sure.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He obviously did that. He did the, you know, the unspeakable and beat Bayern in the German league.
Did the double.
You know what I mean? Klopp couldn't do that.
No, Klopp couldn't.
No, Klopp couldn't do that with Dortmund.
As in the double? Or as in like the... No, he didn't win the double
against them.
I don't know if he won
the Bundesliga once.
Yeah, I don't know if he won the double, eh?
I don't think he won the double that season that he won the Bundesliga. But he also didn't do it without losing a game.
Yeah, exactly.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's for sure, yeah.
He's obviously coming in with more credibility than kind of Klopp coming into Liverpool.
Yeah.
Which is a huge kind of compliment to give to somebody. So, it's interesting to see. I'm interested to see if Xabi Alonso can control that team because I think that team's out of control at the moment. Right?
Yep.
Before I move on to the kind of the positive notes that are there, one last point is around, how do you control Jude? Right, Jude's head is getting very big, and whilst I respect him as a player, and I think he does quite well, I mean, the fact that in the Copa del Rey, refuses to stand in the guard of honour for Barcelona,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of disrespectful, man.
No, it is. Sorry, just back to Klopp, he did do one double.
Oh, he did do 11, one double?
11-12, yeah.
No, all right, stand corrected.
But he, like you said, he didn't do it in an undefeated season.
No.
Yeah.
He lost one game in the season, which is the Europa League Cup final.
Yes, yeah.
That's goddamn money. Man.
Now, I think there's more than just Jude that is the problem. You got Jude.
100%.
You got Jude. Vinny Jr. You got Mbappe.
I think Vinny Jr. is the biggest problem with him. I don't think he's that good.
Yeah, I think he thinks, like, obviously, I think he's a really good player. He's a very skillful player, obviously.
I mean, look, I don't think there's many that are better at dribbling than Vinny Jr. in the world.
Probably not as quick either. He's one of the quickest players in the world, but he has a lot to be desired when it comes to finishing.
Yeah.
Which is his role. I agree.
He's very good and effective out wide, mm-hmm. but I don't see him being very effective in front of goal.
Yeah.
You know, and he definitely never wants to pass.
Yeah. No, and I've seen multiple videos where Brahim Diaz in the final, Copa del Rey final, is begging for the ball.
Yeah.
Vinny Jr. has a pass to him. Mbappe multiple times has asked for the ball. He doesn't pass to him. Right. And there's been times where Vinny Jr. tried to take on one or two players, gets the ball taken off him. Bellingham recovers the ball for them and just flips out at Vinny Jr.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, I can see why everybody's complaining about
him. That's why the rumors about him going to Saudi are believable.
Mm.
Because you go, well, cash in on it.
Yeah.
Take the money, use that money to go buy a player who passes.
Yeah.
Fuck.
But it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I do think that Ancelotti will go. I think they do need a bit of a refreshment They need a new idea. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think Ancelotti can still. I would take Ancelotti in a fucking heartbeat.
Well, of course, he was a great manager for you.
Yeah, exactly. He was a great manager for
us. Won the Premier League in his first season with you.
Won the double in his first season with us. So, you know what I mean? Took us to a Champions League semi-final as well. So the guy is not a dud. I would take him in a heartbeat. But sometimes you just need to... I feel like it was kind of the same with Klopp at you guys. You know, sometimes you just need a bit of a refreshment.
Well, you need a new idea to come in. You need someone to reignite the fans' love for the team.
Yeah.
Because you can see this sometimes it just doesn't quite get there, especially the Real Madrid team.
Yeah.
Those fans, I should say, are fucking nuts.
Yeah.
But look, it's enough on Real Madrid. Some positive.
I'm sure there'll be more next week.
Yeah. Every week there's something, dude. It'll go the next level. They'll kidnap a referee. They'll be like, yeah, get in the van.
Perez has his family.
Yeah. The referee's there sweating. Oh, I don't know what to do.
Red, put that away.
Blows to start the game. Just goes, true penalty.
Your shirt's untucked, penalty.
Yeah. But look, on some positive notes, we've got another young player following in Jude Bellingham's footsteps.
Speaking of Bellingham.
Yeah. So what I mean, his brother Joe Bellingham has just been named the EFL Young Player of the Year, kind of following exactly how Jude did when he was in the EFL. He got the EFL Young Player of the Year, ended up going across to Dortmund. So I'm sure that Jobe will be going somewhere just on name alone, I think.
Yeah, well, there was always like, you know, everybody always spoke about Jobe, and he plays for Sunderland in the they're in the championship.
Yeah,
they're in the championship at the moment. Now Sunderland, they are currently coming fourth, so they're in the playoffs. They're in the playoffs solidified. So like, good. I mean, I remember when he was coming through, everyone was talking about Jobe, and you know, usually when there's like a younger brother, you're just like, he might not be that good. They're just following off their brother. And especially Jude, like Jude was super hyped at 16, 15 years old, right? But for him to win, which I'm going to go through now, how he's done this year, which, I mean, to be fair, it's not that great. Got 39 games, 4 goals, 3 assists.
Mm-hmm.
It's not great.
No, it's
not. So I'm wondering why he won it, maybe based off name. But Sunderland's coming fourth, so he must have been a big part of it.
I mean, he must be doing something, does he? He plays more of a holding midfield, though, doesn't he?
Right? Yeah, he's not a box to box like Jude.
So he's got a different role.
Yeah.
But it could be off name, right? Pedigree, that always helps.
Yeah.
But I mean, just see if he goes. I wonder if he stays in England.
Well, one, if they get promoted, does he stay? Because they're in the playoff. They're in the playoff.
Very true.
Yeah.
I'll be interested. I mean, I hope a player stay. I like to see a player that gets promoted, if they're the big part of it, to stay.
Mm.
You know, one thing, I mean, you'll give to Grealish. When that happened with Aston Villa, he stayed for a season before he went.
He stayed for a while. He was with them for a long time. He was even with them in the championship when they got relegated. So he stuck with them. Did the thing.
You know, as much as he's a dickhead now, but he was fine then.
Yeah.
And then we had... last piece of gossip for the
this
week.
One's close to your heart.
Yeah, I do like this one. It's fucking funny. So Patrice Evra, the ex Man United, ex French,
ex Man United captain,
and French. He wasn't the captain of France, but he was a very big
very important part for them. Yeah,
of France. You know, this is the same man that was licking the butthole of a raw chicken.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, that's disgusting. It's gross.
Yeah, he's actually training, and he's taking up his first MMA fight in the PFL.
Cool.
Yeah,
cool.
So it's going to be an amateur fight. It's going to take place on May 23rd.
Nice.
So
pay-per-view?
I mean, it's in PFL, so
I'll stream it. Well, I'll illegally stream it.
Yeah.
Sorry. Legally stream it.
Yeah, that's right. I'll pay for it. Anyway, look, the reason we bring it up, you know, normally I don't really care if he's going to be an MMA fighter or not, is that he's got a few funny quotes from the fight because they go, they asked him specifically who does he want as an opponent to fight, and he wants to fight Luis Suarez, dude.
Look, we all know the history.
Yeah.
Do you want to go through the history before we kind of delve into it?
Look, you know.
I prefer it comes from your mouth that we talk about the history.
Well, Luis Suarez, the great and noble striker that played for Liverpool, may have said some unfavorable things.
Yeah, I think he called him not the full N-word, but the slightly down N-word.
I believe it's a Spanish word, negro.
Negro, yeah.
Which, you know.
I think the exact quote was, what is this negro? Why is this negro talking to me?
Well, it's loosely translated to ninja.
shout out 50 Cent.
Yeah. Our boy 50. And Yeah, look, may have called him that in the game. He's been... They had some back and forth, no shaking of hands before a game.
That was really cool. So that was after he got suspended.
Mm-hmm.
And then they played Man U the second time.
Yeah.
And Evra put his hand out. He wanted to shake hands. Luis Suarez refused.
No, that didn't happen.
That was a big scumbag move, bro.
I don't remember that way. My memory is fuzzy.
This is why you shouldn't be talking about it. I'll talk about it. Luis Suarez is a scumbag.
Dude, Luis Suarez was the man, dude.
He was a great player.
See that hat trick he got before he scored from halfway, man?
He can still be a scumbag.
No, dude. Diego Costa was a scumbag too, man. But...
Big deflect guy.
Look, I brought it up because he's got two quotes from the interview that they were doing, which is just hilarious. He goes, "I want to fight Luis Suarez, and he can even bite me if he wants. So he's going to allow biting."
Oh, and also history on that: Luis Suarez has been done 3 times for biting. So
he gets hungry, man. You know, he's hungry for goals and what flesh.
Absolute scumbag. Absolute piece of shit.
Yeah, but he's a legend.
Yeah.
You can't be a piece of shit if you're a legend.
I mean, Ryan Giggs is. Banged his sister-in-law.
Yeah, she was kind of...
Wow. Excuse guy.
And then, look, the second part of his quote for the fight is that he would pay out of his own pocket to make it happen.
Yeah, hair's looking hectic right now.
Ooh, goddamn. I'm getting stressed out thinking about Suarez bringing him back to Liverpool, baby.
Obviously, it's a bit unfair. I mean, Luis Suarez is still playing for Miami FC. He's not training. I think it's a bit unfair. Obviously, won't happen.
No. There's no chance it's going to happen. But
so, it'll be interesting to see who Patrice fights.
Yeah, it'll be just some nobody that you've never heard of, but
yeah,
it'll be funny all the same.
Yeah.
Now, why don't we jump into the FA Cup?
Yes.
Or do you want to start with the Champions League to finish this morning?
Look, let's do Champions League. We'll go like Europe, England. So,
all right, sounds good.
Champions League was on yesterday and today. So the first leg of the semifinals. First game was PSG Arsenal in London.
This was a huge game.
This was, I know, now it was only 1-0 to PSG, but this was a great game to watch.
Well, it was a lot more end-to-end than I thought it was going to be.
Mm.
I think Arsenal created more chances than I thought they were going to create.
PSG started off better.
Not only started off better, they were destroying Arsenal in that.
Right.
I think it would be the first 10 to 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Was all PSG.
It wasn't even a contest.
No, wasn't close at all.
And then Arsenal grew into the game and they started to create a few chances.
I think PSG didn't capitalize on the pressure they had, right? All right, so they did get they obviously got a goal in the fourth minute.
Yes.
Right? That's and obviously capitalizing.
It was a bit of a dud finish. Like it came off Dembele's shin.
Mm-hmm.
But that is what happens when a guy is in form. Doesn't matter how he hits it. He hits it volley. He hits it first time, and it goes in the back of the net.
The problem I had with it is that the most informed player that you have in there from a scoring perspective was completely unmarked. He's on the edge of the 18-yard box, completely unmarked.
It was funny that you say that because I saw that Declan Rice before the game, you know, like the team huddle.
Yeah.
And he's talking like, you die out there. This is what pretty much he was saying. He actually stands off Dembele. And you're like, dude, you cannot give Dembele space like that. And Declan Rice stood off. And it gave Dembele the space. All he needed was one chance. Bang. That's pretty much all he did. After that, he was pretty much anonymous.
Yeah. And look, the problem I have with how he played is I think Jurrien Timber got real fucking lucky in that game.
Timber, fuck, bro. He got torn apart.
Bro, Vasquilla
killed him.
Was destroying him. Every time he got the ball, Timber was not close enough to him.
I think he was too scared to get too close to him.
You got to get tight on Vasquilla.
It's
the only thing you can do. It was our problem. We didn't get tight enough on Vasquilla either.
Yep.
And it just gave him too much room. The problem is he gets so up and back and he runs so much.
Mm.
You got to put K's in to be able to catch him.
Yeah.
And it becomes hard because you will be out of position.
That 70 mil that they paid for him is now starting to look like a bit of a bargain.
Oh, mate, he's 120 easy. 120 and you'll be like, oh, that was expensive.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah, nope. It was worth it. Yeah.
Worth every goddamn cent.
Yep.
And then, not only that, Vasquilla beats him on the inside at one point in the first half, and Jurrien Timber just puts his arm out and pulls him back.
I've seen a photo where they've put a fucking helmet on him, like an NFL helmet, and they're like, sorry, wrong sport, Justin.
Yeah,
bro, what are you doing? But how the ref didn't give him a penalty?
It went up to VAR. VAR checked it. So it wasn't like he pulled his arm away at the right time. What?
Okay, sure. So you can tackle and just be like, oops.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I pulled it off before he fell.
Tackle. Yeah. Yep. Nope, I'm out.
And look, that was my issue with it. And I think Arsenal were really struggling at that point in the game.
They were, yeah. But then they did grow into the game. Now, there was another big contentious moment with the penalty where Declan Rice was running onto it. And then I think it was Marquinhos came in. And he actually got the ball.
Yeah.
That were complaining was a penalty. When you watch the replay, he clearly gets the ball. Yeah. It was a fantastic tackle.
Well, just it's because it's happening at speed. So like it looks a lot worse. And obviously at London,
you see one of your players go down, the whole crowd's and go, bleh.
But I think big issue that Arsenal had in this game, the crowd, all right, in that Real Madrid game, the Arsenal crowd was insane.
Spastic, right?
Spastic. Yeah. Through the TV, I could hear how much that they were chanting.
Yeah.
This game, nothing.
Yeah, it felt like...
Barely anything. Rooney's come out and made that statement today.
Oh, did he?
Right? He came out after the game and essentially just goes, well, I just don't think the fans were there for them. Mm. He goes, it wasn't a performance thing. I think the team played well, but you didn't have that 12th man on the pitch just kind of killing that atmosphere, especially at home.
Yeah, at home. Right?
They should be there. Like, the PSG team should be intimidated to play there.
Correct.
And I don't think they were.
Well, I think the big thing that we've all seen is the... Typho? Tifo? Oh.
This is so ridiculous, dude.
The Tifo that they've put up is obviously like, you know, you've seen the Manchester City one.
Yeah.
It's like all their trophies. Mm-hmm. The Chelsea one is the same thing. Liverpool do the same thing.
Yep.
The Arsenal one was a fucking banner of their badge.
Yeah, it was a banner of a cannon.
And it was
and they're like, we have cannons.
And it was pathetically drawn out where it's just like, just stood there all crimpled up and everything. I'm like, yeah, that's really going to scare the shit out of the PSG players that have come to London for this. You know what I mean? They're coming and going, oh, we're at a training ground now. That's what it felt like. It really felt like they were at a training ground.
They didn't create that atmosphere. They weren't able to put a kind of a fear or a difficulty in PSG to play that game.
Yeah.
Right? When PSG came to Liverpool and played, all right, they got a 1-0 win, and they got pretty fucking lucky for that 1-0 win.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Donnarumma had a fucking game to stop us from scoring.
Yeah.
Salah didn't really hit it, but bro, that's the stadium was rocking.
Yes.
It was not easy for them to beat us.
No.
And I think Arsenal made it easy for them to lose that game.
Speaking of Donnarumma, pulled off some cracker saves.
Mate, he's having a season. This has got to be one of his best Champions League seasons.
This has to be probably one of his best seasons. I think him getting stomped in the face really changed his attitude.
Yeah, we're turning into Scarface. But, I mean, I still stand by PSG is going to win.
You did say PSG after they beat you guys. Yeah. So, at the moment, I mean, it's looking like it. They won 1-0 away. They now go to Paris. They get to rest all their players. I mean, I'm pretty sure Arsenal will do the same thing, but they've already won the league. I think they're going to win the French Cup as well, so they're going for the treble. I think that's going to look good for who I think is probably the best manager at the moment, Luis Enrique.
Yeah, I tend to agree.
Bro, he has turned this team from very reliant on the Mbappe, Messi, Neymar trio.
Yeah,
they're very reliant on them.
Well, they took these huge names out of the team. Right? Mm. With the aspect of, everyone thought they were going to fail because they lost Mbappe and they did all this. They've got him better.
Yeah.
Right?
Who's got him? Significantly better.
Where did he go?
Real Madrid.
And what happened to them?
Fell apart.
So, there's a constant here. I don't know. There's a constant.
Yeah.
And it just seems to be, you know, the, you know.
It's the common trend with Mbappe.
Oh, I don't know. He just seems like a diva, man.
Yeah. No, he seems like a
diva. I think he's more problems than he is solutions.
He sounds more like, what's the fucking chick's name in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Chick.
Yeah, you know the chick? The reporter?
April? Don't know. I didn't watch much Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Oh, dude, you suck then.
But the second leg is on Thursday.
I was a Biker Mice from Mars guy.
Oh, dude, you suck. I'm going. No.
This podcast is over. Just smash stuff.
But next Thursday, leg two, super keen, and it's going to be a real, real good game. Let's see if Arsenal can put a bit of fight back into it.
Look, they did what no one thought they could do against Real Madrid. Let's see what they can pull out.
Yep.
Then we had one of the most exciting fucking Champions League games.
Honestly, this semi-final between both of them is so even. It's so good to watch.
Well, I mean, whoever makes the final, right? Look, what I hope doesn't happen is an Inter-Arsenal final, because I think that's the most boring final you can watch.
Inter win.
Inter will win. I have no doubt of that. So I am hoping it's either Barca, Inter. I don't mind who goes in from this game versus PSG.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the most exciting game, right? you know, I mean, look, there is all the speculation every time a Pope dies.
You're the Pope.
Every time a Pope dies, an English team wins the Champions League. Nottingham Forest did it. You guys did it. Man City did it. And can Arsenal do it?
Speaking of trends.
Yeah, yeah.
But this game, now the good thing I do like is that all four teams are all from different countries as well.
Yes.
England, Spain, Italy, France. This game, Barca versus Inter, 3-3 final score. And like you just said, what a game this was. Opened up, goal in the first 30 seconds. Not just the goal, but a back heel flick.
Yeah, like in mid air. Flicks from behind him and it goes in the goal.
Yeah.
And this is from a player who was not supposed to play this week.
Yeah, he's been injured for a week or two now. Yeah,
hasn't even been
game.
Training.
Yeah.
He comes on, bang.
Bang.
Just gets the most freakiest goal you've ever seen.
Yep.
Then that's followed up with a second freaky goal of Denzel Dumfries.
Dumfries, very underrated player. Very underrated.
Well, I think he's only underrated by people outside of Italy.
Yes.
I think in Italy, he's very highly rated.
Yeah, right? I think they've got... Actually, can I just say, I think they Inter have the best wing backs in the world.
Oh, dude, PSG, man.
Well, they're not wing... Technically, they play as wing backs. Dude,
they scored more goals than their strikers.
So they got Dumfries and... what's his fucking name? Marco. Shit, I'll find it. But yeah, Dumfries with his second goal, which was a bicycle kick...
It was a bicycle kick just on the 6-yard box. To be fair, I think if the Barca defender went and got his head to that ball, it would have been a foul for a high foot.
Yeah, fuck that.
But he pulled his head away. What a bitch. You know what I mean? Just get kicked in the face.
Oh, DiMarco. Sorry.
Oh, DiMarco.
DiMarco,
yeah.
Sorry. Not Marco.
Look, he's a good player.
I've always rated those two.
There's no chance that they're better than
Hakimi and
Nuno Mendes. They're just not. They can't be.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And like, if you want to try to say
I think from an attacking sense, definitely those two. Probably from a defensive sense, you'd probably put down the Interplay. But two very good.
Bro, Nuno Mendes put Salah in his back pocket.
He did
bro.
Put Salah in his back
I'm
pocket.
I'm saying
yeah.
this too. I don't want to say it, but I'm saying it. You know what I mean? Like, he put him in his back pocket, didn't have anything on him.
No. And Hakimi, over 180 minutes.
In that Arsenal game, just kept popping up and getting the ball.
He doesn't stop.
No,
hey.
He does not stop running.
Yeah.
He was making breaks.
Mm.
He made a challenge, got the ball. The ball broke. He starts going in a foot race with one of the Arsenal midfielders.
Mm-hmm.
I think, was it Trossard? No, it wasn't Trossard. He doesn't track back.
Yeah.
But he scores the overhead kick.
Sorry, so that's 2-0 to Inter at this stage.
Can I just say, I wake up for the game this morning, right? And I turn it on at 5:05. And I'm like, oh, Inter's up 1-0? That's insane. You know, I'll go around, make myself, you know, my greens supplement for the morning while I'm trying to get healthy. Oh, look, Denzel Dumfries scores. I'm like, oh, well, I'm going to have a shower. This game could be over.
Yeah.
I come out of the shower. It's fucking 2-2. And I'm like, what's going on here?
Yeah, well, Yamal scores. So you must have gone to the shower straight away because Yamal scored 3 minutes later.
Yeah, well, I just thought, oh, it's 2-0. You know, we're 22 minutes in. It's 2-0.
So there were four goals and you missed all four of them.
No, I saw the Dumfries goal. That's what I'm like, this is over. The fullbacks are scoring overhead kicks.
And then Yamal's goal. I think everybody forgets this kid. Well, probably not everyone forgets, but it's very hard to just comprehend that this kid is 17 years old.
He was 17 years old with 100 games under his belt, 9 trophies.
Yeah, insane. And his goal was fucking brutal. He's got quick feet, cuts in, and just belts it into the top corner.
I mean, they had him double marked.
Still couldn't stop him.
So they had the fullback and the midfielder dropping in to pick him up, which is a good tactic. The kid can fucking dribble. He takes the ball from kind of a wide position, almost like a Thierry Henry-esque type position where he likes to go wide and come inside, beats 3 players and curls it into the far corner.
Soma had no chance. He was looking at just going,
barely moved. Yeah. He just went,
no, fuck, yeah.
Just give him a clap.
Yeah. Then Ferran Torres gets his goal. Now, this one I put down to the defenders not tracking back because they put in a cross. I think it was Pedri puts in a cross to Rafinha who knocks it back in the middle with a head. And Ferran Torres just runs straight in. So the defenders, the centre-backs, weren't tracking back in to follow that in. So it was a good play by Barca. So it goes from 2-0 after 20 minutes to 2-2 at halftime.
Yeah.
And then 63rd minute, Dumfries gets another goal. So your wing-back is getting a double. How good is that?
That's insane.
Yeah. And it's that was off a corner. That was a header off a corner as well.
He leads that team so well.
Dumfries?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then 2 minutes later, Rafinha just cracks the fuck out of this shot.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for Soma, comes off the crossbar, off his back into the goal. Yeah. So it counts as an own goal.
Rafinha's having a season.
Well, he assisted the Ferran Torres one.
And, well, yeah, everything he touches turns to gold this season. Yeah. And it's, I mean, he's unstoppable.
I mean, I want to have a quick look at just the stats, because if you compare his stats from last year...
Even if we just compare the team stats that we have in the game today, Barca should have won this game. They had 19 shots, to 9 seven. On target.
Yeah.
To Inter's 7 with 3 on target.
Mm-hmm.
Inter had 28% possession.
Yeah. Very Italian football.
They absorbed all the pressure.
Can I just say, though, they had 28% possession, but they still scored 3 goals.
Yeah.
That's efficiency.
Well, that's...
But, hey, 3 shots on target, 3 goals. Yeah. Not bad.
And I think the downside is obviously they've lost Martinez.
Martinez did get injured. He did come off.
Whether or not he plays next week, we'll have to see.
Yeah.
But he did not look happy with...
I bet, yeah.
So
I just want to go over Rafinha's season. So he's been a Barca for 3 years now. So his first season, 50 games, 10 goals, 12 assists. His second season, 37 games, 10 goals, 11 assists. This season, 51 games, 30 goals, 22 assists.
That's insane.
He's got 52 goal contributions.
I want him tested.
I want him tested as well, because this is ridiculous. But second leg is played on Wednesday. There was another one. Someone scored and they're told... Oh, no, that was Marino, sorry, in the... Arsenal game.
Oh, the offside?
Yeah, the offside. Yeah.
I mean, look, to be fair,
it was offside.
I was debating that he wasn't offside, but
clearly
it was offside. Yeah. Yeah, semi auto.
Second leg is at on Wednesday at the San Siro.
Yep.
Super keen for this game.
I don't see this being a 3-3 game, I can tell you that much.
I think Inter will be a lot more locked down. I think they'll play a lot more counter attacking football. And I think so they're gonna be like tight at the back, and then they'll spread out when they have the ball and play counter attacking. So I think the one place you can get Barca is their defense. But you need to be solid at the back to stop their attack.
The problem is if you take a risk attacking and they get a break.
And they count it, yeah.
You're fucked. Because if the ball goes out to Lamine, he's able to skin any one of your defenders.
Yep.
If it goes out to Rafinha, he's so confident now, he's just taking shots from anywhere.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a hard one to beat. But
two super exciting semifinals.
But we're going to see the conclusion in this next coming. That's yep. for sure.
And we'll talk about it next week.
And then we've got back to England.
Okay.
FA Cup.
So... We made our predictions last week. We were wrong about both games.
Yeah, we were super wrong about both games, dude. Super wrong.
First game was Palace-Villa. Was not expecting this at all. Villa had been on fire.
Well, I mean, I think this is the PSG effect.
Yes, right? You did say that in the group chat. Yeah.
Liverpool versus PSG, all of a sudden we start dropping off, making all these errors, limping across the line. Right? Aston Villa have two crazy games against PSG. Then they come into this game. And fucking Crystal Palace pumped them 3-0.
And Villa had a couple chances, but wasn't like...
Well, nothing of note.
Nothing of note, no.
They didn't seem too confident in front of goals.
No.
I don't think they were creating a lot. Like, they were getting chances. They had 16 shots, 5 on target.
Yeah.
They had a lot of possession.
Yeah.
But they couldn't convert anything.
Henderson did... Henderson wasn't really...
Well, there was no massive saves.
No.
Right? There wasn't any huge saves. It was just a lot of errors on their behalf. And, yeah, like, they just... I don't know. It just seemed like Palace were the more physical team. They were definitely more direct, and they just went for goal. And fucking Eze.
Eze's goal.
We complained halfway through the season saying Eze's dropped off,
right?
He hasn't been doing much.
Which then, I think, to be fair, was a fair comment.
I think so too, yeah, no. But I also think it was just that the likes of Ismail Assar picked up his game. Mateta
Assar
picked up his game.
Really picked up his game in the back end of the, probably from like January onwards. Yeah.
Well, at the start of the season, it was just Eze. Eze was the only one being able to produce any chances. The only one getting on the ball, and we said that their problem was is they couldn't finish.
Yes.
Well, he's definitely fucking proved us wrong.
He's picked it up in the past few weeks.
The goal he gets in this game, what are you doing?
Yeah,
he just curls that shit straight in the back of the net.
And Martinez is just like, he's just like, fuck. I was like, bro, there's nothing to do
about it. Nothing you can do about that. It was a fucking shot and a half.
And then Ismail Sarr, Ismaila. Mr. Sarr.
Yeah.
He gets a double. Obviously, the last one was, 94th minute. Yeah. But, hey, he still got a double in FA Cup semi-final at Wembley. I'll be fucking cheering about that.
He'll have been given up at the end. So.
Yeah. But, look, very, very happy for Crystal Palace. I think I said at the start of the season, I thought they were going to be a surprise packet in getting into Europe. Now, obviously, they're not going to get into Europe. But, hey, the main FA Cup final, that's a... If Palace can go from, like, say, mid-table to mid-top table... and get into an FA Cup semi-final, that's a fucking good season for them.
Look, I tend to agree. Mm. I tend to agree that it's probably one of the better seasons the Palace have been able to have.
Yep.
I think if they can build on their team,
yep.
right, they've got a few pieces. They probably need a good centre back.
Munoz has been a great wing back. He does need a partner.
Right? He needs somebody in there that's going to control that back if he goes forward.
Yes, correct.
Because you want him to be able to go forward. Yep. He's proven that he can actually
go forward. Yeah.
And you probably need some support in the midfield with Eze.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't really have support in there.
Well, you look at their centre backs. I mean, they do have that. They got Mark Guy.
He's going.
So they're going to have to buy someone to replace
him.
He's
going to go for sure.
They got Lacroix. He's good. He's all right.
He makes a lot of errors.
Then they got Chris Richards. He's okay. Yeah. He's from US.
I mean,
he's
if you're gonna replace Mark Guy, you almost need right. You need to replace Guy, and then you.
Correct. Yeah. Now, if they win the FA Cup. They play in the Europa League, right?
Yes.
So they're going to have to buy players then because you 100%. Can't be in the Europa League with a thin squad like got. But yeah, but who will they be playing in the final?
Man City.
Spewing.
Fuck. You know, we all thought Forest had this dream season. They were going to do that. I know that there was that punter going around that had...
He did. Yeah, he had them for
He needed them to win the FA Cup and be in the top six.
Top six, yeah.
They may lose out on both those things.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
But this game, obviously, now City won 2-0. Rico Lewis started off in the second minute. Great goal. Probably the best thing he's done all year.
It is. Yeah, definitely is.
Then
O'Brien's still better.
Yeah, O'Reilly.
No, isn't there O'Brien?
O'Brien.
Yeah.
No, I think we'll look it up later. But after this, so at halftime, Elanga comes on and he nearly scores in his first touch of the game.
Yeah.
So 1-0 at halftime, right? They come out, Forest nearly score, then Man City do score. Vardiol gets his header.
He climbed above everybody.
It was a towering header. Great header, right? Then Forest just have this bad habit of hitting the post / crossbar.
Well, they hit every post.
They hit everything.
Every post.
But the goal, the net. Yeah.
Fuck.
So they went, I think they hit the post / crossbar 4 times after that.
Mm-hmm.
Gibbs White hit it twice in like 5 minutes or something. Just like, bro.
Right at the end with the open goal.
Where he hit
the opposite post.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fuck me.
Bro,
on a good day, the wind blows the right way and you get that goal.
Bro, it was just the day where you're just like, it's not happening for you. Today is not your day.
It was a kiss on the dick for Manchester City.
even Guardiola said that we got lucky in this game. And to be fair, he was right.
Yeah, he did. And now we see Man City another FA Cup final.
Yep.
And they'll be playing against...
Crystal Palace. I hope Crystal Palace can get the win. That would be a great season for them.
Well, I'd love to see Crystal Palace win something over Man City. I'm sick of seeing Man City win. Because they're fucking cheats, man. They're fucking cheats.
So the final is on the 18th of May. So what do we say? 2 weeks?
Yeah.
2 weeks.
2 weeks
from Sunday. So we'll be up for that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. Now on to the good stuff, baby.
Let me we'll just quickly run through the results / tips.
Let's do it.
So look, there was 7 games played so far. We got one more game tomorrow.
We do.
Which hasn't happened yet. But we'll just quickly go through. So first game was Chelsea. So I got 5. Now I'm going to have a big whinge about this because I should have 7 out of 7.
Dude, you shouldn't have nothing.
I should have 7
you
out of 7.
You got what you got.
You know I should have 7 out of 7.
I don't know nothing. That's what I know. What I know is champions, ole, ole, ole.
Can I just quickly go through these results before you start jerking off to you guys winning?
No, you can go through while I jerk off.
So look, first game was a Chelsea game. Look, this is a pretty boring game. To be fair, we won 1-0. I had Chelsea in this one.
I had draw in this one.
Which was a fair... The game should have been a draw from what I watched. It was not a good game to watch, right? But I don't know if you know, but David Moyes has never won at Stamford Bridge, and that continues to go on.
Well, that's a fun stat for him.
Yeah. Jackson scores in the 27th minute. His first goal since... I think it was his first goal since Christmas or something because he's been injured for so long. And the other point, Lavia back in the starting lineup.
Yeah,
played well. Played really well. Only played 60 minutes, but when's he going to get injured again is the next question. Next game was Brighton-West Ham. Now, I had a draw in this, and Brighton decided to score in the fucking 93rd minute. So, Ayari gets the first goal. Then Socek hits the crossbar. Kudor scores to make it in the 48th minute to make it 1-1. Sorry, to make that, yeah, to make it 1-1. Socek then gets a header in the 83rd minute, so it's 2-1 to West Ham. And then Matoma gets a goal in the 89th minute, so it's 2-0. And I'm thinking, great, draw, excellent. No, Baliba decides to strike it from 30 yards out and gets the winner. I don't know if you saw the winner, but it was a fucking cracker goal.
Yeah, look, man, I was disappointed too because I had draw.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. It would have been great for me. It
would have been great for both of us, right?
But that's just not how the cookie crumbles, man.
It didn't crumble, exactly. Next one's Newcastle. So this was, yeah, Newcastle, Ipswich, easy game. I had Newcastle.
Yeah, I mean, I had Newcastle as well.
Yeah, Ipswich got a red card in the first half. That's Ben Johnson. Like to
call game over for Ipswich.
Pretty much, yeah. So Ben Johnson got two yellow cards, one for a simulation, second was for a drag back. They weren't even tackles.
Yeah.
You dived and you pulled someone back.
Yeah, he's a fucking idiot.
Dumb, exactly. So Ishak scores in the 49th minute for a penalty after Murphy gets dragged down. Byrne gets his first EPL goal of the season in the 56th minute.
I love Dan Byrne, bro.
Ah, good for Dan Byrne, bro. He's won an AFL. Hey, he ended Newcastle's title drought. Good for him. And then Osula scores his first EPL goal ever in the 80th minute. So they go 3-0. Next, we'll do Southampton Fulham. And again, drawing this one, should have got it. No.
No, I had Fulham.
Yeah, good for you, man.
Great tip by me.
Yeah, good for you,
man.
I'm
the man.
Shut up. Stevens, so Southampton get the first goal off Stevens. He gets a header off a free kick. Other than that, wasn't much else happening. Willian hits the post, but then Smith Rowe scores in the 73rd minute. Massively deflected shot. Mm-hmm. Huge. And then in the 93rd minute again, dude, you know, I was literally watching, I think I was watching the Newcastle game, and I'm like, all my tips are in. This is going to be great. And then on OptiSport Goal Rush, it just went, goal, goal. I'm like, fuck. Of all the fucking games, it had to be those ones, the ones I want to draws in. But Sessegnon gets a header in the 93rd minute off a cross.
Yep.
So, hey, Sessegnon doing his thing. Next is the Wolves game. Now, we both had Wolves in this. Wolves played Leicester. Yes, Wolves played Leicester.
Wolves played Leicester.
This was literally all Wolves.
I mean, they just pumped
besides the penalty from Vardy, it was all Wolves. Cunha gets a goal in the 33rd minute. Cunha then gets an assist for Strand Larsen in the 56th minute. Vardy gets a penalty in the 70th minute and is saved by Saar. I don't know if it was a penalty because he kind of stuck his leg out to get the penalty, but...
It was contact.
It was contact, yeah.
That's the problem.
Unfortunately, he missed it or had it saved, so he's still stuck on 198 goals. We need two more for him to get 200 for Leicester.
No, I don't need shit. He needs those two goals, and I don't give a fuck if he gets it.
Dude, it's Jamie Vardy, man. I thought you liked Jamie Vardy.
Yeah, but let me go Wrexham.
Yeah. And then Gomez kills the game in the 85th minute. Again, Cunha assists. So Cunha with a goal and two assists. Not a bad shift.
Hey, he's been great this season.
He's right? been great. And there's now rumours that he is going to be leaving. I think it's actually confirmed he's leaving West Ham. Wolves.
Going to Wolves, yeah. Hey,
going to Man U.
Yeah, apparently.
Apparently, that's
pretty
the...
likely, and it makes sense. They'll pay him a fucking fortune.
Exactly, yeah.
To go there, and then, you know, he'll flop.
Yeah.
I just imagine that's exactly what's going to happen.
Speaking of Man U, so they played Bournemouth. I had a draw in this one, and now I was lucky to get the draw in this one. I'm assuming you had Bournemouth?
Yeah. I had Bournemouth.
So
yeah.
I got lucky in this one. So Tyler Adams... went for a tackle. I don't know if you saw this, a lunging tackle, and they went to review it, and they thought it was a red. Kind of slipped. I don't know why they were reviewing it.
Yeah.
But then, 30 seconds later, Semenyo scores.
Yeah.
So they had the free kick. They kick it out wide to the young kid that they bought from Italy. The man you bought that left back.
Heaven?
No, not Heaven.
Oh, no, he came from Arsenal.
Yeah, you know which kid I'm talking about? The one that you don't like.
Oh, dude. Trash.
Yeah, yeah, you do not like him.
Oh, dude, he's so trash. I've wiped him from my memory because he's so trash. Dorgu.
Is it Dorgu? Yeah, Dorgu. Dorgu. Yeah. So Dorgu loses the ball and then, Semenyo scores.
Yeah.
And you're like, hectic. What the fuck were you doing with the free kick? It literally went from...
Dude, I told you, he's trash.
Yeah.
He's trash. They just trash.
They pressed him and he lost the ball and that was it. Yeah. Then Bruno... I don't know if you saw this ball from Bruno to Garnacho.
I didn't watch much on this game, to be fair. I really didn't give a fuck about
Bruno gets the ball and he pings it light and splits the defenders to Garnacho, who gets the ball, gets it off, actually, and Kepa makes his hectic save. Altora then hits the post in the 60th minute. So it was all Bournemouth, pretty much, right? But then Evan Nielsen gets a red card in the 70th minute. Now, I don't know about you, but I thought he slipped.
He did, and it was overturned.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought it was a bit of a weak red. I thought it was a yellow because he slipped and he caught.
Well, it's unintentional. You can't. Yeah. You cannot get a red card for an accident unless it's an accidental handball on the goal line.
On the goal line, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you can't. That's just like a guy goes up for a header and then falls over onto another player and they go, hey, it's a red
elbow
card.
Elbow to the head, red card. Yeah. You're like, yeah.
No, dude.
So, yeah, as James said, yeah, they've overturned the red card now. So this is kind of fucked Bournemouth. But Hoyland finally gets a goal, 96th minute. And that equalised for him to make a 1-1.
Yeah, look, yeah, it was a shit game, man.
Now, we're up to the Liverpool game. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn my mic. I'm just going to let you have your moment in the sun. This is going to be all James, everybody. So
it's the best man with best.
Enjoy.
Around. No one's ever going to take us down. Ah, dude. All we needed was 1 point from this game to win the league. You know, the league? The EPL, the English Premier League? Mm-hmm. You know about that? Oh, okay, cool. I was just checking. So we've won the league, the English Premier League. We won that. So it looked shaky at the start. Yeah, that's right. Clap, bitch. It looked shaky at the start. Dominic Solanke back in the scorer sheet, gets his first goal in the 12th minute. And then the floodgates ran open because just like a train, we ran it on Tottenham. Choo-choo. Luis Diaz opens the scoring, followed by McAllister with a weapon goal, dude. Then Gakpo gets on the scorer sheet and, hang on a second, runs over, takes his shirt off.
Sorry, I'm going to rotate for this because I have something to say, yeah.
Runs over to the sideline, takes his shirt off, and he says, what is it?
I belong to Jesus.
I belong to Jesus, right?
Very nice shirt.
You think there's nothing wrong with that? He mm-hmm. likes Jesus, he believes in Jesus, and he's just showing his thing. No, the Premier League started investigating him and trying to fucking suspend him for the remainder of the season because he wore that because they've banned religious kind of
like celebrations.
Religious flags and religious statements within the league. Because that's part of, you know, they're diverse.
Well, that makes no sense because like got like Salah and Demba Ba and all those, they used to pray Allah after they, or like thanking Allah, right? They pray on the pitch.
Salah prays every time he walks on the pitch.
There is nothing wrong with
that. There's nothing wrong with that. He has a religious belief and he wants to celebrate that. What does it matter if he wears something saying, I belong to Jesus? He doesn't say everyone should belong to Jesus.
Yeah.
He goes, I believe in Jesus.
Yeah.
Cool.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Go pray, dude.
Yeah.
You know?
That's
like,
good. That's great. I'm glad that someone, like, he's promoting that. Awesome.
Realistically, that's, if you're looking at that, okay, he can't say, I belong to Jesus, but Anthony can travel around with a goddamn Sonic, the fucking hedgehog thing, and put that up. Well, he believes in Sonic. Sonic's his Jesus. I don't know. Yeah.
Now, I do know that, well, I don't know this for sure, but I have a sneaky suspicion that if they had, say, the Pride flag and they put it up like that, I'm sure the Premier League be all for it. They would not be investigating it. They would not be saying anything. They would actually probably praise it. I think it's a bit of a double standard that they decide to criticize Gakpo for saying he belongs to Jesus. But if anybody else does anything like political, if you want to put it that way, they're all fine with it. So that's a bit of a double standard from the EPL.
It's not fucking stupid, dude.
Ridiculous.
It's just,
yeah.
It's just ridiculous. And then
I'm going to turn this back.
Right? Yeah.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
No, and then Salah, our boy, finally, the man of the season, gets a goal. We say finally.
He did go on a drought, though.
Yeah, three games. Yeah, he didn't score for three games. Yeah, you're including everything after. Like in the Premier League, he didn't score for three games. He's scoring at such a rate that is. So he's already broken the 38-game goal and assist record for a season. And he's now going for the all-time goal and assist record. So he's got 46 goals and assists this season. Obviously, the record is 47, which was done in a 42-game season by Alan Shearer and Alan Cole? Andy Cole. Alan Cole. I'm just mixing the two together.
Andy Shearer?
Yeah. Imagine Alan Shearer's a black guy. Oh, no, he can run now.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Get him out of here.
And then I mean, look, and then obviously the game was wrapped up by an Udogie own goal, which, to be fair, should have been Salah's winning goal.
I do not want to talk about this because I lost money because of Udogie. I had Trent Alexander assist, and because Udogie put it in, it doesn't count as an assist.
Well,
so if Salah put it in, I would have been, I would have got my assist. So.
You would have got your bet, and then on top of that, he would have had the record.
He would have had the record.
He would have tied the record for most goals and assists in a season. I think he'll get it. I mean,
he has four games, right?
Yeah, I think he'll get it. I think also a big talking point for this is Federico Chiesa.
Okay.
He's not played enough games to get a trophy.
We just went through his season so far.
He's played, as in started or subbed
in about 10 games. 9 of them have been EFL Cup, FA Cup, Champions League. He's got one game in the Premier League.
He's got one. He's very unfavored by Arne Slot.
There are still 4 games to go. Slot has to give him some game time, right, to get this fucking medal. Because everybody knows, you need a minimum of 5 games to win a medal.
To automatically win a medal. You can still be given a medal.
Yeah, they'll just make a medal for him. Like, you know, they'll make medals for everybody.
They just throw it to him. Like, he's sitting there just going, take it.
It just says duplicate on the back.
Yeah. And it is funny because people coming out going, he's like the third Italian player of all time.
Second.
Oh, no, Jorginho never won.
Yep. So it's only Balotelli.
Only Balotelli.
Balotelli is the only Italian player.
So they're coming out saying he's the second player that's ever won.
And technically, if he doesn't start, he's not part of the team.
No, he's not. So it doesn't count. He's not part of the order. It doesn't really count. At least Balotelli was a part of the team. He was a dickhead, but he was part of the team.
Hey, Balotelli assisted the Aguero goal, so he was a big part of the team.
Yeah, cool. So, no, I think there's a few things there. Obviously, Van Dijk becomes the first Dutch captain.
Oh, because Henderson was the captain when you won it.
Henderson was the captain last time when you won it. So Van Dijk becomes the first Dutch captain
to win the
Premier League. Slot becomes the first Dutch manager to win the Premier League.
Yeah.
And he joins a very illustrious kind of crew of managers to win in their first season. So you've got Pellegrini.
Well, first was Jose. He was the first manager.
Jose Mourinho was with Chelsea. Carlo Ancelotti with Chelsea. Then you had Pellegrini with Man City.
Yep.
Who else do we have there?
Conte with Chelsea again. Yep.
And now Arne Slot.
Yeah.
With Liverpool.
So five top managers.
We've had a very consistent season. We've clearly had a lot of backlash, especially if you watch any of the Arsenal fan TV shit, right? There's they didn't cop injuries. Bullshit. We had Alisson injured for several months. We've had Konate injured for an extensive period.
And when you lost Trent Alexander-Arnold and
Connor Bradley at the same time for an extended period.
Jota had been in and out of injury for a while.
Gakpo. In and out of injury as well. Mm. So, you know what I see the constant as? Is that the injuries are only affected if you lose.
Yeah.
If you win and you have injuries, the injuries don't count.
Yeah.
Right? And we stayed consistent. Mm. Our first half of the season versus our second half of the season was a 1-point difference in gameplay and a 2-goal difference.
Mm.
So we consistently kept scoring. We consistently kept getting results. What did Arsenal do? They consistently kept drawing.
They consistently came second.
Yeah. That's what they like to do.
Yeah.
Right? They didn't invest in the player they needed. They needed a striker.
Badly. Right?
They're sitting there and saying, oh, we're not going to bring in players that we don't want or need. Cool. Well, then be happy with second.
Well, we looked at their record. They've had 13 draws this year. They've only had one more loss than you guys.
Yes, that's what I mean.
But almost double the amount of draws. And like we said, if you invest in somebody that can get you those extra points, which happened with Man City when they bought Haaland, that got them to the Champions League, right? You needed somebody to give you that little extra. Arsenal spend 900 mil on somebody to get them over at the start of the season, like we said, but they put way too much stock into Havertz. And they thought that he was just going to be their number nine for the whole season.
But he's not. But he's not their number nine. He's never scored more than 20. He's never scored more than 15 goals or something in a season.
He was never going. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, He was never going to be that guy, that X factor to get Arsenal to that next step.
Yeah.
He might have won him a couple games, but he wasn't going to win him 13 extra points.
No, that's the thing. He's not the guy that in those 13 draws he's going to get you know, at least 50% of those.
Correct.
To be the win.
Correct.
Right. Yep. He's just not that guy.
Yep.
Right? Whereas we had Salah, and Salah did that for us.
Correct, yeah.
Right? We needed those
goals. Salah has had, obviously he's on track to have one of the best seasons by an EPL player ever.
Well, he's already done better numbers than Thierry Henry in their invincible season, right? Which they scored 90 points in their invincible season. We're looking that we will get more than 90 points. We're on 80... We're on 86 low 80s at the moment.
No.
I'll pull up the table.
No, that's right. I got it.
We've got...
I got it here. You guys are on 82.
82, sorry. Yep. We're on 82 with obviously four games remaining. So we can get a maximum of 94. Yeah. We can get a maximum of 94 points, which, I mean, that means if we get a couple draws in the last run through, we can still equal the same amount of points. So I don't know what the argument is around.
To be fair, you guys might do that. I mean, you're not looking to break any real records. The only real record that you could go for is Salah, right? For the goal contributions.
Yeah, it's individual records.
Yeah, it's individuals.
We can beat team records. We were on track to beat our own record of winning the game at the earliest because we won it 7 games before, but we just didn't get the consistency and wins that we needed to do that. But I thought what would be interesting to look at is the 1920 team that Klopp won with versus our
the
team.
The 2019/2020 team.
Yes.
You said the 1920 team. Like, that was like over 100 years ago.
Well, look, man, there's a slash there somewhere, okay? But there's 8 players from that original squad that's still in the current squad, right? And then obviously some of those 8 players are now, you know, completely out of their prime, but still very strong as players. So if we go for the starting 11 of the 2019-2020 season, we had Alisson Becker in goals.
Same.
Still the same. We had Trent Alexander.
Still just as good as well.
Yeah, even better even, I'd say. He's probably had better games this season, especially in the Champions League.
The Champions League, yeah.
Then we had Alexander Arnold at right back, who's... I mean, arguably not as good defensively, to be fair, that he was, but much better going forward.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We had Andy Robertson, who, in comparison to the season that he's had this year, has been a big problem. Yeah, I know.
I'm going to kill you. I will kill you.
then we have our fearless leader, Van Dijk, was in the 1920 squad.
Has not gotten better, but is still as consistently solid as he... You know, he's still consistently solid. I think obviously it was better when he was 5 years younger, but that's normal. He was 28
at the time. His partner for that season was Joe Gomez.
Yeah, Joe Gomez, right? Nice. Kill it. Excellent work.
All right, I murdered it. It's fine.
Yes.
It's fine. It's dead. And then we had a completely different midfield.
Your midfield has totally changed.
Completely
different.
And look, I argue that I think our midfield today is a lot better, and we'll do the comparison. But we had Wijnaldum, Henderson, and Fabinho in our midfield.
Whereas now it's
Alexis Sob, McAllister, Soboslai, and Gravenberg. So Gravenberg playing that Fabinho role.
Yep.
I think Fabinho is probably a better player for that number six role.
Yeah, for number six.
For a number six.
I think Gravenberg
should be playing what the Wijnaldum role was,
which is where
Alexis is playing now.
Well, they're both tall Dutch players. It kind of makes sense, right?
Well, they're both able to dribble and turn.
Yeah, yeah.
I always found that was the correlation between them all. Because like you saw Wijnaldum at one point from us, and I'll never forget this in the Champions League. He had 3 players pressing him. I think we were playing one of the Italian teams. 3 players pressing him, and out of nowhere, he just turned, and all 3 players are gone. And he's just turned around and just gone on an attack. We end up scoring off it. It was just an insane turn. And then you've got, Henderson.
Look, Henderson was
he used to organize the team.
Yeah.
So you would see the likes of Salah, Mane would turn and look for his instruction.
Mm.
Right? And he was a good leader for that middle of the park.
But in terms of football play, he was probably the worst out of the 6 that we just
He played
saw
the role no one wanted to play.
Correct.
Right?
It was a dirty role.
You're going to score every now and then, but realistically, we just want you to run around, make tackles, and distribute the ball. Michael Carrick used to do.
And he was like the voice of, kind of like Michael Carrick. Yeah. He was more the voice that was Klopp. So whatever Klopp wanted, Henderson would spout it out. Yeah.
100%. Yeah. So, look, I mean...
it's fair enough. Klopp is hard to understand. Klopp is hard to understand, so, yeah.
It gets emotional, dude. And then our front three, right? So we still play with the front three.
Yep.
But our front three was Salah, who's still in the squad today. Mm. Bobby Firmino, who we've never replaced.
Yeah, he has not been replaced.
I mean, I don't know. You name me a player that can do what Bobby Firmino did in that team. I couldn't name your player. And then we had Sadio Mane, who, in that team is impossible to replace. He was one of the strongest, fastest kind of...
Great finisher too.
...attackers. Now, the other players that we still had in the team was obviously off our bench. So we had Harvey Elliott and Curtis Jones.
And you look at the ages, Curtis Jones was 18 and Harvey Elliott was 16.
Yeah. So they didn't feature all that much, but no. they were just in the team.
Correct.
Yeah. And then for the remainder of that team, it's all been moved on.
Yeah.
So then we go into who we look at in the current team. We've got, obviously, in the Liverpool team now, right? At our back, we've got Konate, who's, you know, miles better than what Joe Gomez was.
Yeah, Joe Gomez had a couple of struggles, but yeah. Konate's a big improvement.
We've got... So our back line almost stays identical. We've yep. still got Alisson there, except we've brought in Konate. He's yes. a much stronger. So I think that's a stronger back line.
Yep.
Obviously, Andy Robertson's our weak link now
yep.
in that back line. I think he struggled this season. I don't know if it was an issue with physicality or if it was an issue with the gameplay.
Or
and
maybe
I don't
the
think
tactics.
That he was, yeah, that's what I mean. I yeah. just don't think he suited Arne Slot's gameplay. Mm. He doesn't want so much up and back. He wants him to wrap around. He mm. wants him to link in with passing, get into diamonds and triangles so that mm-hmm. he can actually lay the ball off. And I think he struggled with that. Mm. Then if we look at, obviously, the midfield and in comparison, the Gravenberg, McAllister, Szoboszlai, I think that's a more dynamic midfield that we have now.
I think a better footballing midfield as well.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, it's dynamic in the sense that they can all play off each other. They all have individual greatness that can happen. McAllister loves getting forward and can get forward.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, I wish got forward a bit more.
He's
However,
working on it.
Oh, yeah. I like to, and I don't know if it's a fair comparison, but I like to compare him to Dirk Kuyt. Right? Because I think Szoboszlai has better ability with his feet.
Yes.
However, Dirk Kuyt's just that workhorse. And I think Szoboszlai is just a workhorse as well. Mm. He gets up back. He has the most Ks than any other player in the Liverpool team on a consistent basis. And he was always covering Alexander-Arnold when he's forward as well.
Yeah.
Right? Which is interesting. However, as being that number kind of that cam role, you want him to get goals
yep.
and assists. So if he can do that next season, I think we're in a good place. And then our front three, right? And this was interchangeable this year, which I didn't like. I do like having a solid front three, right? Like PSG has it, right? They have a couple of players in interchange, but they've got, you know, Barcola, they've got Dembele.
That Doué.
And Vashkilia with Doué who comes in and out of the team,
yep.
Which kind of allows them to have that solid front three where they can all play off each other.
Mm.
I think we lacked that this year, right? Because we had Mohamed Salah.
Oh, yeah, don't need to talk about him.
He plays every game. If you want to play with one leg, go play.
Yeah.
Right? We're not going to tell you to stop. Then Gakpo had a small amount of time where he looked like he was going to be the guy.
It was his injury.
Yeah.
That injury fucked him.
We had to put Diaz in. And just, unfortunately, Diaz just wasn't as consistent as we want him to be.
He started off really well though, and then he went to South America for the World Cup qualifiers. Yeah. I think in like October or November,
and he came back
and just played like dog's balls.
Yeah, like bro, good on the ball, right? When he gets the ball, he can beat a player. He's very dangerous. You don't want to give him space because if you give him space, and you don't want to give him time, space and time. You give that to him, he's going to beat you every ball that he gets. He's going to beat you.
Yeah,
right. But then he gets into the final third. He was just either making the wrong choice to go wide or he's just not finishing.
Yep.
And it just became a massive problem. And then I think our biggest problem of this season was our striker. We had no striker. And again, like I said...
Well, that's why Luis Diaz had to play up front.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Luis Diaz playing up front against Leverkusen, right, in the Champions League is the best game he played all year.
Mm.
Right? He got the hat trick against Jonathan Tah.
Yeah.
So they put him up a matchup. And this was Arne Slot's kind of tactics where he goes, well... Jonathan Tah is used to these big strikers that are going there. And man-to-man, he's going to win every duel.
Mm.
So it just seems like we put Luis Diaz up there. Next minute, he wasn't winning the duels because the ball was at his feet.
Yeah.
And he was just skinning him, which he did on several occasions. Mm. And he got three goals and got his hat-trick. Never been able to replicate that for the rest of the season, which was a concern. And then, obviously, our backup is Darwin Núñez. And Jota. Jota's just injured for 50% of the season.
He was actually injured 50%, yeah.
He's a good servant to the club, but it's just you can't be that injured and be a kind of a starter for us.
That's where I think people kind of like say that you guys got away with injuries because even though you lost players to injury, you still performed.
Uh-huh.
But that's not on your injuries. That's just on how your team was able to adapt with the injuries, right?
Yep.
You turned Luis Diaz from a left winger to a striker to accommodate for the fact that Jota was injured for half the time, like you said, and Darwin Núñez had maybe two good games all year.
Yeah,
who was not scoring, right? So that's people were like, oh, you know, they didn't have that many injuries, but you didn't realize that, these guys were all out at certain points in time. But then the reason why it still worked is because he turned Luis Diaz into a a striker.
Tactically, Arne Slot adjusted to what he needed to do.
Which is great. That's what you want in a manager.
But I think this is also the complaints a lot of the pundits are making towards Man United, right?
Mm.
They go, and same as Tottenham.
Mm.
They go, well, they just keep following their system. It's like, yeah, that's all well and good. You still need to win games.
Yeah.
You cannot just sit there and go, well, I have 12 injuries, so I'm going to lose 16 games.
Mm.
It's like, no. You need to adjust the team to how it is. All right, maybe you cannot play with that high line anymore.
Mm.
Maybe you've got to bring it back. You've got to rely on the one good player you have there,
mm.
right? Instead of trying to force your 18-year-old who's never played a high line before to yeah. play the high line in the hardest league in the world.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. So that's the complaint. Arne Slot has come in, spent no money.
Yeah, zero.
$0 and being able to win the league,
mm.
right? So I think that there's a justification to be made around, well, does Ange keep his job? I don't think so. And
even with the Europa League win?
I mean, look, yes, it's a trophy.
Not just a trophy. A trophy for Spurs.
Yeah, look, yes, I agree. So I'm interested to see what they could do in the Europa League tomorrow.
Yes, tomorrow, yes. They play the Bodo Glimt.
And Bodo Glimt, they've got two players out.
Two of their main players. If Tottenham
cannot name you who the fuck they are. but the news article I read said they were pretty good.
Yeah. These guys are good. Yeah. Who are they? I have no idea.
I don't know. They're Bodo Glimt. That's it. So look, I think if you look at the comparison of the team we have today versus the 2019/2020 team.
Yep.
I got to go and say the 19-20 team is a better team. It was more established.
It was more solid. I think it works in like split it, right? Like your defense is the same, right? Pretty much the same. Oh, I think Kanate is better.
Kanate versus Joe Gomez.
So you would give it to the 2025.
Obviously goalkeeper's exact same, right?
Goalkeeper, so, left, right.
However,
Robertson has dropped off.
Robertson has dropped off, but you've brought Kanate in. From a defensive perspective, I think we've got a better defense in this team than we did in 2019-2020.
All right, so 25 wins the defense.
Yeah.
Midfield, you said 25 wins
the
defense,
that's
right?
Fair. Yeah, they win the defense.
Oh, sorry, the mids.
In the mids, yep. Yeah. But in the attack, it's 1 by 19.
That's not even close.
And I think... Even though Salah's had the season he's had,
would still say... The attack was better in 1920?
Well, yeah, because it's only Salah that's been scoring for him.
All right, so how about, was Salah better now or in 1920?
Well, Salah as an individual
is better from a
numbers point now than what he is. He's matured a lot as a player. You can see that already. He's fit as fuck.
Yeah.
But if you look at it as a whole, you're getting assists and goals out of Bobby Firmino. And Mane
was banging in goals for fun.
Whereas now, if you look at the support, it's like, all right, Gakpo had a flash where he was doing well. You had Diaz in a couple of games did well.
Mm.
Nunes in two games maybe had good games. Jota was better last season than he is this season, right? And he's too injured.
Yeah.
So I just can't. I got to give it I'd give the attack, the goalkeeping, to. Yep. The 19/20 season, and I would give midfield and arguably the defense. Maybe the defense is even.
Because Robbo's dropped off.
Yeah. And we've brought in Kanate. And also Kanate was injured for a period of this season too.
So 19/20, he only got 19 goals and 10 assists. When I say only.
Only.
Still a lot, yeah. he got 19 goals and 10 assists, right? So that's that 29 goal contribution.
And he's on 46.
He's on 46 this year.
Yeah. It's insane. Yeah. It's insane. That's why he earned his contract.
Yeah, 100%.
That's why Van Dijk's earned his contract for leading that team through it, and that's why Salah earned his contract for the season that he's put in.
Yeah.
So, look, I mean, I'm positive for the future. Let's see what's going to come. Obviously, it's going to come down to what the transfers look like. But
which I think we should get into around end of the season, maybe around Club World Cup time. We'll start talking about transfer. The transfer rumors will start ringing off after
100%. Well, obviously, we've still got one EPL game for this week, which is going to be Friday morning, tomorrow morning.
So
we've got Forest Brentford. So we'll see what happens there. Just a reminder, I've got Forest in that game.
And I got a draw.
Yeah. So you could go two points ahead. We keep you 4 points behind me.
I should be two already, damn it.
Yeah, well.
But no, we still have
match day 35. We still
got, even though Liverpool's won, we still got games to play.
Well, there's still a top four race going on. I think we'll start looking at that next week.
We'll look at that next week.
Break down and see who could end up in that. Well, the top five.
Top five.
Has come out. It's been the most important now. So we'll break that down in next week. But why don't we quickly run through our tips for match day 35?
Yep.
So we've got the first game being Man City and Wolves.
I've gone City.
I've gone Wolves in this one.
Cool. I hope it does happen. Good for Chelsea and the top five race.
I agree.
Yeah.
Then we've got Villa and Fulham.
Look, Fulham just beat Southampton. I've got to go Villa.
I've got to go Villa as well. I mean, they did have
They need payback after the FA Cup. Yeah. Plus, they're also pushing for top five.
Agreed. Yeah. Then we've got Leicester versus Southampton.
Game of the round, in my opinion. Oh, mate, in my humble opinion.
Can I just say, if we don't have any kind of updates on this game next week, it's because I wasn't fucked to watch it.
I just hope there's red cards all around there.
Yeah, so I've got a draw in this.
I've gone Southampton in this.
Fair enough.
Fuck it. I think Southampton's playing better than Leicester. Yeah, marginally.
Just throw a dart at it and see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a dart player, by the way. It's all random.
Did you just lick the dart before you threw
it? Yeah, I did,
it?
Actually, yeah. I went to go like this and then changed the darts halfway. You know, I'm getting my analogies mixed up. Then we've got Everton versus Ipswich.
I'm going to draw.
I went Everton.
I'm not interested in this game. I think Ipswich, I know they copped the red card, but I think they were still playing a little bit. They were playing pretty well against Newcastle.
Yeah.
So I'll go for a draw.
And we've got Arsenal-Bournemouth.
I've gone Arsenal because
I've gone to Arsenal because they're home.
Yeah, that's the only reason I went to, but they should be resting players. Therefore, Bournemouth should give them a shake.
Yeah.
So, but I'm going to stick with Arsenal.
Then we've got Brighton and Newcastle.
I've actually gone draw in this.
That's an interesting choice.
I've
gone Newcastle. I don't think Brighton's playing very well, to be fair.
They weren't playing well against West Ham, but they did get the win against them last week. So, you know, Newcastle are pushing. Maybe it's more of a hope for me. That's what I'm hoping for Chelsea.
I'm tipping with my heart now, baby.
Yeah, I know. I'm just picking and choosing when to tip for my heart.
Well, then we've got Brentford and Man U.
Brentford.
I've also gone Brentford.
Yeah, Man U are just hopeless.
Man U can score a goal.
Man U are hopeless. Yeah. Outside of the Europa League, where we're in the semi-finals tomorrow against Athletic Bilbao. So I've gone outside of that, they've got nothing else to play for. So Brentford.
Then we've got West Ham and Tottenham.
I've gone draw.
I've also gone draw in this
one. Yeah, I think Spurs will.
I could see this being nil all.
Yeah, totally. I don't like West Ham's play. I think, obviously, Spurs are totally focused on Europa League. And this is actually a battle between 16th and 17th. Who would have thought?
Yeah. Ooh, what a game. Then we've got Chelsea-Liverpool. You guys have just been warming up like this all week.
That's not how they do it. They clap them. Nobody does the double hit like. They actually clap. No, they don't actually do a guard. They don't do it. Don't touch me. I'll fucking knock you over the head. Yeah, you've gone Livo. I've gone Chelsea. And we need it more than you.
Yeah, maybe we don't care.
That's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping you guys
I think a good bet in this one is Salah to score, obviously.
Mm.
Right? You can get $1.20 for that, I assume.
To score or assist?
Yeah.
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 I think we're about $1.36.
Yeah, I feel like he breaks the record in the next two games.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then we've got the last game of the round, Palace and Forest.
I've gone draw. I don't like Forest away. They don't perform as good as they do at home, but I still think they're going to be competitive. So I've gone draw.
And I've gone Palace in the last one. Palace at home.
Hey, there's a few different ones.
There's a few. You could catch up right at the end and pick.
Or I could get absolutely smoked because I do not like some of my tips, but I'm just going with them.
Let's hope you get smoked. oh, that's another week, guys.
Yeah, so Champions League next week.
We've got Champions League next week. We've got the Europa League results
next week. For the first leg, yep.
We'll have, obviously, the Forest-Brentford game.
Yep, we'll have that too.
In end of match day 34.
Yep.
We'll have our match day 35 games.
Mm.
And then we're pretty close to end of the season.
I know. Let's just get this over and done with because it's not been good for me.
Best season.
But Chelsea do have the Europa Conference League tomorrow against some Swedish team, so...
Bodo Glimt?
No, not Bodo Glimt. No.
All right, everybody. Peace out.
Bye.